Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Would you look at that? My little recorder. We're recording in Mark's studio / office building, and I have just put some AA batteries into this blooming Zoom recorder, and we are down to one bar. Thanks, Ryman's, owned by one of the dragons from Dragon's Den. I put some proper Ryman's AA plus powers in these bad boys.
That is down madness. To nothing. That's down to one.
After half an hour's recording, 40 minutes.
This seems to me symptomatic of a bigger problem.
It's the dragon.
These are fucking crazy times, Pete. Straight white men are being silenced
by big battery.
By the woke cult.
Yeah.
Not my words, Pete.
Yeah.
The words of Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. They're straight white men. They're being silenced by a multi-million pound Spotify deal.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't surprise me, Pete, that you've not heard about this.
No,
because Joe Rogan was talking about it on his show.
Yeah.
So you will not have heard of it. It will have been woked out of existence.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been, whitewashed.
It's gross.
Cis-watched.
It's gross. It's because it's like, I do sometimes think, do you know what would tip us over? Is if we went, we'll get rid of all the people who follow us and have done for 200 episodes who we like and get on with, we could just make this really
sell our swords, because it's all in there, because we are men. All of the opinions are in here. I'm tired of being told the thing that kind of unifies all the people who rally against woke culture is that none of them can tell a fucking joke to save their lives.
No,
like none of them are funny.
No,
like and you must sort of go, even I know there's like the kind of what's it, where you sort of like you ascend and you assume you can do something past your kind of ability level. I presume people who are kind of do the kind of things that we do, there's a lot of people in that situation where they have fewer skills than they actually let on. They overcompensate and they think that they can do stuff they can't do. So they probably back themselves quite a lot. But even they must be thinking, why can I never get anyone to laugh? Only just go sagely nod and say, yes, I agree.
Very strong point. Interesting. Interesting.
Why can I never make people laugh? Because that's not my thing. No, you're just not funny. And it takes a little bit of skill to make people laugh.
Can I also mention, Pete, that we got another non-5-star review?
Yes, please.
And it was someone loved the content, but they didn't like the wokeness.
The wokeness is the thing that's
holding us back. That's what I feel. I do feel that. I really do. So from now on, we are not going to be socially progressive.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be like a couple of horrible men.
Put that spanner in the works. Let's just wind it back a little
bit. We've done 200 episodes nearly. We've come out to 200 episodes.
The next 200 being calloused cunts.
We're coming to the end, aren't we? We're coming to the end. And what we need to do is sort of go, we've got to think about the next project.
Yes, the next project
could be called like Two Former Woke Dudes.
That is downloads
doing Chinese accents in like sketches we've written.
Me stood next to a trans bathroom going, what's this all about then?
Me sort of saying, here's the thing about fat chicks that's different from non-fat chicks. I don't listen to a lot of the non-woke stuff, so
it's when like an SNL cast member, like he gets his, you know, the dream. He gets his position on SNL, and then they go back and listen to the podcast where he said something terrible. And obviously, you know, Lorne Michaels and team, they haven't seen any of this because they've got other things on. They don't listen to podcasts, for fuck's sake. And these guys have come up with these incredibly crass, rubbish jokes. They don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So
We've got to think of something. We've got to think of something.
We've
got to think of something. I had a look at where we sit on the... If you type in wrestling, it brings up on like Apple Podcasts. It brings up a list of all the wrestling shows. And it's not done on popularity.
Right.
Because we're not near the top.
It's done on race. And everyone's white.
Do you know, on that list, you have to go quite a long way down to find us. And we are perennially in the top 150 of sports podcasts as a whole. We have been for 3 years. Mm-hmm. We are, on that wrestling list, we are one place under Women's Hour. From Radio 4. We're one above LBC's The Nick Abbott Habit.
Right, okay.
Not wrestling podcasts.
No, they're
they
not.
They are listed in wrestling. Three down is Lean Back, Critical Feminist Conversations.
Do you think that we, when we set up this project, there wasn't like a wrestling section?
Well, there is now.
If you told me about this earlier and not on our 200th episode, we could have done something about it, Mark.
I have a feeling that...
We're
being silenced by the woke cult. That's the only thing.
Shed our woke skins and start breaking hearts.
The important thing is we're going to get back to what we do best, which is talk about wrestling and be... painfully socially aware. So we're going to do that. But Jesus Christ, Pete, we are on WrestleMania. Is this 36?
It's 35, I believe. 34 was the last one. Then we took a break for Crown Jewels. And I think this is 35. Yes.
I still think it might be 36.
You reckon?
I don't know.
No.
What's
is
the
it?
Number?
Why did I write 35 on the
It's definitely from 2019.
Yeah. Okay. So, whatever. WrestleMania.
No, I think you might be right. Has there been a 38? Jesus Christ. Imagine the confidence of going in and going, we'll do a parody start about like how we're going to be like horrible Joe Rogan. And then when we come to the actual bit that we have to deliver on, we don't even know the number of the one we're doing.
We don't even know what year it is. We can't maintain a party line. We've got to go with our hearts, Mark. It is 35. It was recorded, produced for what seemed like 15 hours on April the 7th, 2019 in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the MetLife Stadium. Attendance 82,265, disputed with a little two next to it.
Always disputed. You are right, Pete. This is WrestleMania 35. It is 7.5 hours long. 16 matches, 7.5 hours long. That's 450 minutes.
That's a shift.
7.5 hours long.
That is a shift.
Oh, isn't
it? That's a shift at work.
The time between Tony Nese winning the Cruiserweight Championship in the opening sort of pre-show and then Becky Lynch making history, same length as a flight from New York to London. That is how long it takes. It is... All the matches in this WrestleMania are basically fine. Mm. And largely the critical reception to this show is...
Pretty good.
It is good. Mm. But it is killed by there being an endless, ceaseless parade of hours that just go by. This is the last we're going to have of the stupid length WrestleManias. Mm. Because after this one, because of COVID, it split to the two-night system. I say because of COVID. COVID certainly made that an easier transition.
Yeah.
I think they were going to head in that direction anyway.
Yeah.
They'd seen New Japan and Wrestle Kingdom. They'd realised they'd done that over two nights. Mm. It is a way to get two bites of the cherry. You are probably going to have people... Very few people are going to go, I'm going to do WrestleMania Night 1.
Yes.
I'm going to fly out and do WrestleMania Night 1 and then fly home again the next day.
Yeah.
You are going to be having people buying both nights, and that is double the ticket money.
Disputed.
a very, very clever wheeze. Yep, as you say, it takes place at MetLife Stadium. They call it New York. The commentators have to put their hands up and go, it's in the shadow.
It's in the shadow
the
of New York.
The shadow of New York City.
Yeah. Depends on how strong the torch is, isn't it, really?
Yeah, doesn't it? It's in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah.
But I talk about London. I would never say London. People say, you know, what's the capital? And I would say, it's the town in the shadow of Watford. I take a nearby town and I talk about its shadow. That's
true.
The way that I do things. Did you have a watch of the kickoff show?
I didn't, because I didn't think I had time, and turns out, Mark, I didn't have time.
You wouldn't have had time, Pete. Nobody has time to watch the kickoff show.
I don't know why you do. Nobody expects you to do this to yourself.
I watched all 2 hours of it. All 2 hours, Pete. I thought, do you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. No one can ever turn around and go, well, you didn't give it everything.
No.
You didn't give it everything. You know, you were too busy, you know, doing an opening about woke culture that you know, you didn't then deliver on. I watched it. The best thing is it starts with Jonathan Coachman. Basically... going, like he's not been told it's going to be 2 hours, the kickoff show, either.
Yeah.
He thought he was there for one, like normal. So he goes, welcome, kickoff show, it's supersized. going to be a couple of hours, like that. And you can see him really going, I agreed a fee for this.
Yeah.
But now, essentially, that fee has been halved because I'm doing twice as much work. They mentioned that this the show was available on Oculus Virtual Reality.
Oh, right, okay. So you could sort of... Where would the cameras be? In the turnbuckles? They must put them in the turnbuckles.
I can't work it out. I found... them talking about it beforehand. Right. So it says, as a special viewing enhancement, WWE fans are able to enjoy the WrestleMania 35 kickoff show live in virtual reality. They can use an Oculus Go or Gear VR headset. Mm. The Oculus Venues app provided a bonus social experience, while the Next VR app offered an immersive 3D virtual reality experience for users. Now... there is no footage of this online. There's no one saying, and this is what it
this
was.
This is what it was. Nobody bought it.
Was I in the ring? Was I in the ring and able to fight?
Remember RefCam in WCW?
That
would have been
that
brilliant.
Helmet that looked like it was the kids that fell over.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It then won a nomination in the YouTube Streamy Awards for best use of emerging platform.
And we've never seen this kind
of... No one can tell me what it is.
But someone's got a recording of this, presumably.
Yeah, but it's
maybe
not
they
out
saw
there.
Too much.
Maybe they did. Maybe it was just like you suddenly went in the body of the wrestler and you could see all that, like, the blood
the
cells
guts,
and the moving of them of the muscles. We're just not ready for this. We are not ready for this. They run through in the pre-show all of the matches that we've got coming up. It takes longer than you'd imagine. They are all okay on paper. There's nothing that really makes you particularly excited, with the possible exception of Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. It all seems a little bit like stuff that you would have seen on SmackDown, certainly before and after. They mentioned that, and Miz versus Shane McMahon in a Falls Count Anywhere match. I had no recollection of that match happening. When you get to like the 35s and you know the 34, the 33. I would say there are two matches on every single one of those. If someone had held a gun to my head and said, you have to just make sure that you know which of these were WrestleMania matches, I would have got two bullets through my head every single WrestleMania. One of those is definitely Miz and Shane McMahon in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Well,
no recollection at all.
Well, I mean, if Shane McMahon is involved in the match, it probably would be WrestleMania, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It seemed to appear for...
Totally.
Go and hurt yourself. No, fuck off.
I've begun thinking that it's because WrestleMania 36, which is the one that is coming up next, the COVID era one.
Right.
I begin to think that that was so terrifically weird.
Mm.
That I can't remember anything other than stuff that happened at that WrestleMania. It's like it's wiped out anything that I can recall from WrestleMania in the last 5 years. It is just that one. What you see here as well is you get the early sort of appearances of podcasters and digital radio hosts.
Right,
they're beginning
okay.
to reach out to people who have been talking about WWE from outside.
Mm.
And they're beginning to bring them in.
Yeah.
Clever. Clever.
Get us in the wrestling bit.
We just need to do a SummerSlam. That's all we want to do. Both of them sort of do a good job, but the wrestlers have got that thing of Sam Roberts, who is on. They just sort of constantly treat him like a geek.
Right.
And so he'll make a good point, and he'll be working very hard at doing it. The thing is, Samoa Joe, you can't ever underestimate that guy because he is just pure frenzy. And Booker T will go, look at your hair. Like that. And Sam Roberts will go, what about my hair? And he'll go, look like... Edge says to him, you look like a cross between Krusty the Clown and a homeless dude. And it's just like, I am trying.
I'm trying.
I am trying. Pat McAfee, he turns up and he would, you know, in the last couple of years, he will become far more active within WWE, not just as a commentator, but also he does an in-ring performance at a takeover, which was probably the best debut by a non-wrestler that's ever happened in the history of the industry. This is his first appearance, and one of the things he does, I think he was famous at the time for wearing jorts all the time.
Right, okay.
I think he was a former NFL player,
yeah.
So he was a jock.
Mm.
And he was told at WrestleMania, you have to dress smartly, don't come in jorts. And so he went, well, I know it'll be fun. I will get a suit, nice formal suit, and I will have tuxedo shorts made for it.
Nice, yeah.
I wear shorts.
Yeah.
So
that's my thing.
He turns up and Michael Cole immediately ran over to him and began screaming at him backstage, saying that he was going to be fired. Pat McAfee said he was yelling real. It wasn't like a rib or a gimmick. You could tell there was actual panic. So Michael Cole went to... Pat McAfee said about Michael Cole. He said, you can tell... Let me try and get this right.
Right, okay.
It's very important because this is about tuxedo shorts.
Tuxedo shorts.
And this is why people are tuning into this show. So Cole has screamed at Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee went to pack his things to just go. He's like, he said, I'm not going to be shouted at by Michael Cole. The digital person in charge of the stream asked what was going on, Pat McAfee said, you can tell Michael Cole to go fuck himself. I'm leaving. I'm not getting punked and yelled at like a child in front of everybody like that. The WWE employee was in charge of the digital side of it, said, I'll go and talk to Vince McMahon. Can you wait there? He came back moments later with Michael Cole. And the two of them explained they had shown Vince McMahon a picture of LeBron James wearing suit shorts. And Vince had told them, yeah, I'm hip. I've seen it. And Pat McAfee was therefore allowed to wear his shorts. Michael Cole then apologised for yelling at him. And he said he was very worried that the tuxedo shorts would ruin Pat McAfee's chances in WWE. I love that sort of shit.
See, a bit more of this.
Proper.
I just want this.
I watched that. Really I was upset. Watching this pre-show and I was thinking, he's wearing tuxedo shorts. I thought, what? There was a thing about tuxedo shorts. What would be really useful is if on the network they could have an X-ray like they do on Prime.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
That would have gone ding the second he was there, and I was like,
pop-up video.
That's all I need. That's all I need. I suppose what that is a watch along, isn't it?
I mean, we
talk about, you know, reinventing us, but I mean, what we could be doing a big thing about, like, just tuxedo short stuff, you know, on WrestleMania. That's what people
we could make some tuxedo shorts. Come on, say, eat my tuxedo shorts, they'd say on the back.
Good t-shirt.
Nice.
Alexa Bliss then comes out and she does a sort of intro for being the host. They make a lot in the build-up about her, she's the host of WrestleMania.
Right, is she injured? Is this why she's not getting involved in...
I think they were just like...
In an era-defining match at the end of
WrestleMania. I have a feeling that they looked at it and they thought... She is pretty,
right?
And she is good at speaking, and we don't want her in a position where people tuning in for women's wrestling see her wrestle.
Right, okay, I see.
So
right.
Here they pop her in. She is a host. She appears twice in front of the live crowd.
And the first time is to introduce Hulk Hogan.
That's right.
Like Crown Jewels 2019.
Absolutely there. she does a little bit where she's sort of like, you've got to tune in to see me be the host. And it is like the opening sort of an advert video that you'd get on a porn site in the early 2000s.
Right, yeah, okay.
It's weird acting, and she has to sort of pretend that she really is going to go out with you if you watch this show, basically.
Yes,
it's really uncomfortable. Counting the kickoff show, 8 championships will change hands at this event, Pete. Out of the 10 that were defended, the most title changes in WrestleMania history. And the very first one is between the Cruiserweight champion Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese. Names, Pete, that will mean absolutely nothing to you.
Okay, well, can you give me a bit of information about them?
I will, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Buddy Murphy is from Melbourne.
How do you know? You don't know what I know.
They are.
A fan of Tony Nese.
They are very, very obscure, even by, like, wrestling standards, really. Mm. They are still around. They're both employed. They're on television. Mm. But they are just part of that generation of stars that are very hard to remember.
Right.
Buddy Murphy has had a couple of pushes that have then just dwindled off and tailed away like everybody's sort of is destined to do unless you're one of the big stars these days. Mm. He was from Melbourne in Australia, really, really good performer. Very fast, very sharp, very sort of crisp. He started off in NXT in a team with a guy called Wesley Blake that was managed by Alexa Bliss. That was her first wrestling role in NXT. Mm. She did go on to become a bigger star than either of them. Mm. But Bliss and Murphy were engaged at one point. They split up. In the statement that they released, Alexa Bliss said she remained a huge fan of Buddy Murphy, which is sweet. Mm. He is on Raw at the minute. His name has been changed just to Murphy. They do like to get rid of first names when they promote them. So Matt Riddle becoming Riddle, Antonio Cesaro, Cesaro. Keith Lee. They haven't changed him yet, but
no.
Either one will be good. Here he is. Please welcome WWE Champion Lee. Lee. I suppose it's not a million miles away from Walter.
No.
But he comes in as the Cruiserweight Champion, and that made him the first ever Australian to win a WWE title.
I thought that would have been done before.
No.
But then,
Outback Jack. Yeah. He was the only one around, and he was not a good wrestler.
Was Paul Hogan ever involved? I don't know why.
Outback Jack was a sort of...
Crocodile Dundee kind of
character.
Yeah,
Crocodile Dundee sort of... Cross between Crocodile Dundee and Barry McKenzie, really. He had a sort of... a slight sort of... He was just a disgusting Aussie who he didn't look like Paul Hogan in that you're sort of like, he's handsome. He's like missing teeth.
Right.
Cross between Paul Hogan and a bushwhacker, Outback Jack. But he was not much of a performer. Round in the mid 80s.
Right.
Tony Nese is from New York. He comes out shouting in the camera, "This is my WrestleMania moment."
Yeah.
So the fact
They're
that he's
that
from
again, aren't they?
In the shadows of New York and he's going about his WrestleMania moment, it does sort of slightly give away the fact he's not going to lose necessarily.
Right, okay, yeah.
And our referee here is Drake Wirtz. So I was looking at this and I was thinking 2019 this is? About the time he's probably reading some stuff for the first time about underground child abduction sort of theory on the web around this time. Currently, Drake Wirtz seems to be certainly on the fringes of the QAnon movement, if not deeply entrenched.
Cool.
Still employed, still got a job.
Still working.
The crowd in this match, they don't care, Pete. They don't care. If you go to WrestleMania, you might think, well, these are the people who are going to be the biggest WWE fans. They will be aware of the performers that we have.
Mm.
They will enjoy the matches that we put on. They do not. They do not. And it is perplexing why the WWE keep on sort of going, we are going to have a cruiserweight division, when what they spend their time doing is continually saying to people, do not pay attention to the cruiserweights. They don't matter.
Yeah.
Their matches are, you know, fun but irrelevant, and you mustn't enjoy them. The problem with Tony Nese and Buddy Murphy in this point made me sort of go, and it is a problem with wrestling as a whole at the minute, is I just want gimmicks at this stage of a card. If this isn't serious, don't give me two men who are just wearing trunks and who have got good bodies. Give me a vampire, right? Someone who thinks their own name is Arable because they've had a head injury. you know, a big fat fucking butcher. Fisherman. I don't care what it is. Just sort of go, this is pro wrestling.
A tube driver.
A tube driver. A Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
A Chewbacca, that's a tube driver, right? Just, I don't know what it is, but work it out. It doesn't. You don't have
give
to
even
think it through.
Give me a man called
the
Circle.
Yeah, a shape. A big pencil. Danny the Pencil.
Mama Moo Moo. Give me Mama Moo Moo.
Mama Moo Moo.
Mama Moo Moo.
Now, Mama Moo Moo can go anywhere. That is the phrase. That's what
Mama
it is.
Mama Moo Moo goes anything.
It's a T-shirt. Mama Moo Moo can go anywhere. And it would have a sort of pressure thing where when you like press it, its face changes.
Yeah.
It's unknowable, Mama Moo Moo.
Mama Moo Moo. What's Mama Moo Moo?
I would watch that. Would you watch Tony Nese or Mama Moo Moo? I want to watch Mama Moo Moo very badly. Very badly Mama Moo Moo. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tony Nese is actually a professional. Mama Moo Moo.
Mama Moo Moo, please. Mama Moo.
Oh, God. But they also do it on the television where they go, here's the match starting. We've just sat through, I don't know, 25 minutes of preamble. And as soon as it starts, they immediately shrink it into a tiny box. They play a promo for the main event and they cut the sound to the actual match itself. And it's just so disrespectful. Even if you're watching the pre-show of WrestleMania, the WWE do want to make it clear that the cruiserweights are not important.
Yeah.
You know, it's just infuriating. By the time it comes back from the little shrunken picture, Buddy Murphy's got a sort of bloodied eye.
But no one knows how.
No, you can't tell that, but it's in a perfect circle, like a sort of blood eye patch.
Mama Moo Moo's been on with her tentacles. Mama Moo Moo.
Oh, Mama Moo Moo. Mama Moo Moo, did you manage to get into Buddy Murphy's skull and push out some of the blood? Mama Moo Moo, tell no tale. But yeah, so I mean, Jesus Christ, it is not feeling special.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tony Nese then runs with his finishing move, which you actually hit on.
Okay.
It's called the running knees.
The running knees.
Yeah, he does the running knees. Yeah, yeah. And he holds up his cruiserweight belt, which is made of this horrible, not even PVC. It's just like this blue, shiny. If you touched it, the plastic, your just hand would get stuck to it.
Right.
It's
okay,
just, and
yeah,
it would be tacky. Yeah. It's just so awful. This is very much a sort of a change in the way WWE had looked at WrestleMania, where they stop going, let's have logical storytelling, and they are going, we're looking for moments.
Yeah.
And so they want to have a show where, it, given the opportunity, someone can hold up a belt in front of their hometown crowd, look really, really sad, and the next day they're already working out how to get it off, and they have no long-term plans.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of hotshot booking, which is, I mean, I shouldn't be upset about what the reaction about who wins between Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese, but it is just symptomatic of a slight sort of problem that they've had in recent years. The second match on this is the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale, Pete. The second show on the pre-show, the most prestigious place to have. They bring out that cup again, the Karamak cup.
Yes.
No design, from a 16-bit
Formless
computer game. Oh, it's so smooth. All the women come down at once. In a rare camera sort of angle mistake, they sort of leave it on the women too long as they approach, and all of them suddenly just take their coats off and throw them on the floor. There's a big
pile of
all of their coats.
Like a house party.
It really is. Naomi gets her own intro because she won it last year, but it's still daytime. So she has a gimmick where they hit the UV light.
Yes.
And then
she dances.
But there is no UV light because it's too bright.
Right.
So she is just dancing and coming down.
It's like when you're entering Cyberdog in Cameron. You're like, it shouldn't be going in the daytime.
And Asuka comes out the last one. She is a proper star in this, as always. Really is. Lots and lots of new performers in this match. You have Nikki Cross, Candice LeRae, Ruby Riot, all signed really because WWE realised that as they paid attention to women's wrestling for the first time in a few years, they actually needed a bigger roster and a solid roster of performers, really. A lot of them are no longer with the company. This is only 3 years ago, and you can really see that, you know, there are, you know, a sizable number who have fallen by the wayside.
And it just seems like it was lip service or just kind of just, you know, they'll be the first to go when times get tough.
Yeah, completely, completely. It's, I mean, also quite a lot of the people there were not good performers, but oddly the good performers seem to be the ones who are kept around, yeah. Lana especially, I mean, she takes an eclipse from Ember Moon during this, and the way she takes one of the most spectacular moves in wrestling, it's a reminder she's not that great at wrestling. She can't really hide it when she's out there. They then have her, of course, eliminate Ember Moon, who was as popular as anyone in the ring. That perverse WWE booking. And it comes down to three women: Sarah Logan, Asuka, and Sonya Deville, who has her rainbow handkerchief sticking out of her back pocket. She's a bad guy. You know, she's playing a heel.
Right.
But she's also gay.
Representing.
Yeah, and she's representing. Hard thing to do that. I don't know whether bad people should be representing. Because it's like, I sort of go, oh, she's all right.
Yeah.
You know, she's had to fight discrimination. You know, it's a bit like King Kong Bundy coming out and going, Hogan, I'm going to drop the big elbow on you after I've taken my insulin. And you sort of go, oh, he's, you know, that's good on him. Good on him. And I slightly think the same
Keep
thing about
healthy.
Sonya Deville. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah Logan wins this match. She throws out Asuka. But Carmella hadn't been eliminated, so Carmella then sneaks back in. Sarah Logan, quite fascinated with Sarah Logan. She's one of the ladies who was let go in the last couple of years. She had a sort of wild woman of the woods look.
Right.
She was previously a performer. She was known as Crazy Mary Dobson, and she was a country girl. And so she had a very country sort of look. But she combined her look of being a country girl, like a woods woman, with one of the Viking raiders when she married him. She married a Viking raider, Eric, guy called Raymond Rowe, in 2018. And so she went, well, what I'm going to do now, even though this isn't something that's acknowledged on air, is I'm going to be a wild woman of the woods who is also covered in Nordic runes and has Viking makeup on.
Right.
So she was like a combo that doesn't make any sense unless you know about her family setup.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's a little bit like when Jon Snow marries that wild person from north of the border.
It really is. It's exactly that.
they had, is that. I mean, 2019, probably watched it.
Yeah. But this is a real woman's life. This is, they had a wedding where everybody was dressed as 10th century Vikings.
Cool.
They do a lot of cosplaying. There's lots of photos on their Instagrams of them in front of those, one of those fake medieval backdrops.
Yeah. People, we've said this before, like Nordic lettering.
Yes. Being like, interested with Viking. In pure blood. That sort of thing. Someone mentioned on Reddit that whenever you see a photo of the two of them, Ray Rowe and Sarah Logan, in one of these, he always looks so happy.
Aww.
I went through them and he's just beaming all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
I saw on a Reddit comment, someone had written, a beautiful fiancé that also wants to be a Viking would make any man the happiest man in the world.
It's like those blokes who comment on like pictures of like lasses playing video games going, a girl playing video games, the dream.
Yeah,
it's
really
like,
is.
Put it away.
She was released in April 2020 as COVID first hit.
Right.
But she then had a son with Raymond Rowe in February of this year. They had a boy and they called him Raymond Cash Rowe. Eric, Raymond Rowe, said that they were naming their son after his father, Raymond.
Right.
He was also named Raymond for his father. And now his son is named Raymond after his grandfather.
Right, okay.
He skipped himself out. I really thought they'd go for Thor or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Lothrax. Or just
Heimdall.
Exactly that. Yeah, it seems very odd that with the fact that they spend most of their spare time dressed as Vikings.
Yeah.
When they had a baby, they were like, we are going to call him Raymond Cash Rowe.
Raymond Obelix Cash Rowe.
Carmella wins this Battle Royale. She's been with WWE since 2013, starting as a valet to Enzo and Big Cass. Jersey girl, daughter of a guy called Paul Van Dale, who was a WWE jobber in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
So she is a second-generation star. She currently goes out with Corey Graves.
Oh,
pleased to hear.
Carmella.
Certainly, Graves' ex-wife believed there was considerable overlap between their respective relationships. In February 2020, Leah Vandel launched her own wine label. That's what young people do now.
Yeah,
isn't
they
it?
Really do, yeah.
They're like, I want my own vineyard. It's called Capo Cagna. That name translates roughly to boss bitch.
Oh, nice, okay.
And it's an acknowledgement that we all deserve to feel like a boss. Well, that's also Sasha Banks' stuff. She's sort of like getting confused. I had a look at their website, Pete, because I was thinking, you know, is this for me? I thought,
am I a boss bitch?
Let's get some Capo Cagna and we can drink that on the shows that we do.
Yeah.
That in some way justifies daytime drinking. The first thing that comes up, it says, are you over 21? And the options are, yes. Or no.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm not clicking on those. It also said in big letters, we are not for wine snobs. And
right.
I was like, that is...
Yes.
Yes. I bet that is... It's good marketing, isn't it?
It's
good marketing.
We're not for wine. Yeah, it is good marketing, but I mean...
cheap wine? Would you like... We are not for wine snobs. We don't want anyone who knows lots about wine.
Who can detect when they've got bits in their mouth.
It does say, if you're one of those people who's like picking out like, oh, you know, it tastes of blackberries and chocolate, this is not for you.
Looking at ingredients.
Is it red? Is it white? Is it cheap? It is cheap. I will have it. Worth saying, I mean, like all these things, like the Bellas have got their own wine thing. That little bit of fame seems to make a huge difference. So
right.
She had like, you know, we've got a Cabernet Sauvignon, we've got a Merlot, or whatever it was. And the only thing I could see, it was all like sold out.
Is it just kind of just wine, vineyards just kind of have their own kind of house and they're just looking for any celebrity to sort of just sell a few more?
Look, we could start up Wrestle Me Wine.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, what a terrible thing. Imagine bringing that out at a party. If someone didn't know what the podcast was, they'd be like, that looks like dirt.
Yeah.
Then you go, what? It's a podcast that has its own wine. I'm not having that. If you knew this podcast, you'd be like, they only came up with it because they heard this thing about Carmella and they were like, there's money to be made there. They don't care. Just shit.
All right, wine snobs. Put it away.
Are you over 21? Yes.
Mama Mumu's grapes. Mama Mumu.
These aren't grapes. These are cob nuts. Oh, Mama Mumu.
Mama Mumu, you've done it again. Chestnuts are actually quite poisonous, Mama Mumu. I don't care.
She can't hear. She's run off. Just soaring off into
slinked
the woods.
Up the wall.
There is the third match, Pete, you'll be glad to hear. The Raw Tag Team Champions, The Revival, Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson versus Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. Jonathan Coachman says that this match for Ryder is a dream come true.
Not a good dream.
No. Third of the four pre-show matches there. Former Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. The Revival as a tag team, great in NXT, totally lost in WWE.
Right.
They just do not look like the sort of people that WWE has always told you stars look like. Mm. They look like two men who might be there to do some plumbing. Mm. You know, by WWE standards. The big sort of storyline in this is that Kurt Hawkins is on a 269 match losing streak. Can he possibly break that streak? Absolutely no way he deserved a Raw tag team title shot with those creds. But they said Hawkins and Ryder asked for this opportunity. So that's all you need to do.
Hawkins, can he really call this the end of his losing streak? Because he's got Zack Ryder involved.
Well, he does get the pin.
Right.
They do win the belts. Right. You'll be pleased to hear.
Yeah.
It is a dream. Just by being put against each other, somehow both teams are diminished by being there. It's really odd. Hawkins is good in this as well. I mean, it is literally the only proper moment he had in the whole of his WWE career. Mm. He joined in 2006... He was there until 2014. Mm. Almost nothing happened in that time. He was in a team with Zack Ryder as the Major Brothers in ECW. He was one of Edge's henchmen with Ryder. Mm. He then had forgotten teams with Vance Archer and Tyler Rex, both largely forgotten men. And then he finally left WWE in 2014. He was re-signed in 2016. They'd had him previously for 8 years and done nothing with him. They have 2 years off and they go, do you know what would be good? Let's bring him back. Let's bring him back. They bring him back in 2016. They give him a two-year losing streak, which eventually, around the time of WrestleMania, they go, we can make that into a gimmick. That's something.
Right.
After they win this match, they go back to having nothing again. They would lose the titles something like in June. But again, you know, the tag team titles are so devalued. I was reading a really interesting thing in an autobiography by the British wrestler Adrian Street.
Mm.
And he was talking about there was a period in the 60s in Britain where they began putting tag team wrestling on. And all of the heavyweights were furious about this because tag team wrestling was seen as being so exciting it could only be a main event because nothing would follow it.
Right.
And so all the main eventers, previously the big heavyweights, were really upset because they were going, the thing is, how can we possibly ever compete against tag team wrestling? It's not fair. We've lost our main event position because of tag team wrestling. You know, there is no way we can beat that. Mm. You look at this and you be, imagine someone going, tag team wrestling is the best thing and the threat.
Thing, yeah.
You just go, you know, no, it's not. It's the worst. It's the shit. It's fucking terrible. And that's what WWE have done to it. Zack Ryder and Hawkins were both fired on the same day in April 2020, keeping that sort of, you know, their nice little connection that they have throughout their career. They are now in Impact. Most recently, Hawkins beat Ryder at the Rebellion pay-per-view. So they are, since 2006 to now,
tied
they are
together.
Still going. They also do the Major Wrestling Figure podcast together.
Oh, I've seen those. They're the guys who were in WWE and they
that's right, yeah.
did that video. Yeah, yeah okay.
They are huge toy nerds. Mm. They love wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
In a way that I think is slightly too much. Even you. Think it's a little bit too obsessional.
Right, okay.
I think you need to slightly have other interests.
Sounds like they're driving up the prices to me. Exposing.
I tell you what, Pete, they've just got into trading cards.
Oh, right.
I'm seeing a lot of buzz about trading cards at the minute to a point where I'm kicking myself for not being interested in them for many, many years.
Right, okay.
It's the new Bitcoin.
It's the new Bitcoin.
I should have been there on the ground floor.
New NFT.
I'm now playing catch up. The fourth and final match, Pete, is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yes.
And you mentioned Saturday Night Live earlier about indiscretions.
Yeah. And to be honest, I didn't really have the connection there because obviously with the 30 Man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle, two jobbers from like SNL. I think one of them does the weekend review, whatever they call it.
That's right, yeah. Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Yeah.
They are the last two people in the ring with Braun Strowman.
Yeah. I mean, they never treat this little thing with respect. And it's always a lot of fun. We've always said this. We've always liked that this bit. And they always treat it with absolute derision. And once again, they almost won the 30-man under the giant.
The two of them.
They're not even well-known. There's not even a Pete Davidson in
not
there.
Not at all. Not
terrible.
At all. We don't have Saturday Night Live in Britain.
No.
And that is the thing.
I watch the sketches. Yeah. I watch the sketches every now and then. This is a good one. But these are jobbers in the cast. Jobbers.
Colin Jost and Michael Che, they do Weekend Update. They'd recently hosted the Emmys before this.
Okay.
They had a bit of profile.
Right.
Jost is married to Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, right.
They couldn't get her in. She was like, do you know what? This is, you take this one.
Yeah.
He doesn't mention her at all. Of course, I mean, that would be difficult to say, can you mention Scarlett Johansson in something? He'd be like, no, I'm Colin Jost. It's funny for us because obviously if you're American listening to this, you're like, well, it's Colin Jost.
Yeah, it's and we're going,
it's literally like going, it's Barry Titwick. There is absolutely zero recognition of this man. They get their own entrance. And when I was watching this back, I'd forgotten that they were the last two in the ring.
Yeah.
And I was watching that, I was just thinking, this is inexplicable. How many people bought WrestleMania?
I just don't think the two...
To watch or got the network going, I really want to see... The type
SNL.
Of people who like SNL, they aren't going to go, I've got to watch the guys in the Weekend Update on WrestleMania. They'd be like, oh, that is tawdry.
And even like, politically, you would imagine a lot of wrestling fans don't sort of...
Yeah.
The jokes don't connect.
What they do, of course, in this is there's a bit, you see, where basically this is a rundown of all the people who the company will sack within the next 2 years.
Yes.
With the exception there of Brody Lee, who will walk out. He is there and you see a guy, and because obviously with retrospect you go, he only had 3 years left to live, Brody Lee, great performer, and you see him and he's taking this seriously, and he's looking mean and he's looking ready to fight, and you go, you wasted this guy because you wanted to build this around SNL. So you have all of these guys who, you're not using very well, but you have all of them in the ring, and they're the people who are out on the road day in, day out, and you don't really book it, you just sort of go in there, have a big smirch, fight around, and all this. And what ends up happening is they have the Saturday Night Live guys spend the whole time under the ring, and right at the end, they run out, they try to eliminate Braun Strowman, but they eliminate the Hardys, who are the last two in the ring, and they are left in the ring with Braun Strowman. And Colin Jost gets on the microphone, and he goes, look, not everything has to end in violence. And he brings out his therapist. And it's such a WWE idea that liberals will talk their way out of violence, that they are scared of physical sort of, not just aggression, but confrontation.
Yeah.
And that real men will just punch you, and that they are figures of fun for going, I have a therapist.
Yeah.
Ah, you talk about your feet. I don't. I punch the wall like real man will. And they bring in this therapist. He tells Braun Strowman he needs to breathe in and out. That is not therapy. That's fucking yoga, right? And Michael Che, he's close enough to Braun Strowman that you go, he's nearly as tall as Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Which again, wrestling, you don't want to have a guy from Saturday Night Live look as physically impressive as one of your big guys. He goes over the top rope, and it's Strowman and Colin Jost, right? And there's a bit where Colin Jost manages nearly to eliminate Braun Strowman. And if I was Colin Jost, if I was in that position, fuck it, I'm not coming back next year.
Yeah.
I would have given it a fucking college try. I'd have hoied him out, and I'd have gone, I've won. I'm not coming back next year. I know they're going to shout at me when I get backstage, but that was fucking worth it. Anyway, Strowman obviously then eliminates Colin Jost, throws him over onto the waiting wrestlers beneath. It's Corey Graves on fucking commentary is going, that's right, show him what we do to intruders. I thought this was all part of the WWE family.
Yeah, and I haven't seen this guy wrestle ever.
So
Graves,
if you're a liberal, you can never be a member of the WWE family. No, you can't. And just to absolutely top this bit off, Braun Strowman picks up the Andre the Giant trophy. And he's never picked it up before because it's much heavier than he realises. And it's clearly the first time he's done it. He picks it up and he has... There's a momentary bit where he just wants to hold it over his head.
Yeah.
Like that. And there's a momentary bit where he's got it halfway up and you see in his eyes him going, shit, it's heavier. And he has to readjust and he pushes it and it's too heavy to hold up. And then it's down. And I was just like, good, fucking great. Oh, go and see your therapist about the time when you mistook the trophy for being one lighter.
Body slam that Andre the Giant.
And right at the end, they sort of go, so Braun wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy. And Booker T on commentary says, yeah, but Braun's got bigger fish to fry. Well, this whole thing's been a pointless fucking waste of time. And there was even on the network, there were more extras on this 7.5 hour show than one of the extras is seeing Jost and Che filmed underneath the ring while the match is going on.
Oh, so so they disappear into the ring for a little while. So yeah, what? Right,
the
okay,
whole thing,
so,
and it's right, just them turning to each other and going, "Why did you get us into this? Yeah. You had to love WWE." But the thing that is fascinating about it is you've never been under the ring before.
Yes,
and even though it's quite a locked-off shot,
yeah,
the noise—it's like it's like you're in an Anderson's shelter, and there are bombs falling around you, and occasionally the whole thing will go bang like that, and they'll go shit, and the whole thing there's all dust and everything. It's really noisy and
there's
unpleasant.
There's a dead doink under there.
You would think you'd go, this is the safest place to be. You'd be under there 30 seconds. You come out and you go, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
I hate it. I hate it.
Getting squashed.
I hate it more than anything.
All the time.
Oh man, I'd love to be married to Charlotte. No, what's
Charlotte.
Her name?
Charlotte Johansson.
Charlotte Gainsbourg. I'll
Charlotte
go for Gainsbourg.
I'd love
to be, it wasn't related to Scarlett Johansson. I'd just love to be married to a French actress.
Charlotte Flair.
Respect is due. Look, that's the pre-show.
That's the pre-show.
You can't say we didn't manage to get through four matches in the show, which is unusual for us.
I always say it's good, but we had just a lot of wrestlers, middle and cruiserweight, just tossed off.
If I was like Grand Metalik, you know, I might listen to this and go, oh, that's the one I was in. Maybe they'll mention me. Well, you know, can't have it all, mate.
Well done, Grand Metalik.
Yeah, Grand Metalik.
He's metal?
Mexican lad, yeah. He wears a mask.
He's big metal. No? Grand Metalik?
I think he might be.
Oh, wow.
Big Metalik.
Big
Metalik and Mama Moo Moo together at last. And good news, everyone. They're fucking. Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.